We're going to continue on with our series in Proverbs called Wise Up. And we began last week, and I ended with homework. I know some of you didn't like that, but anybody read any Proverbs this week? Yeah, good. There's a lot of wisdom there. I know my mother-in-law read it with her CDs, and it's hard, you know, I told you to try to read a chapter a day. I think she listened to the whole book of Proverbs two or three times. So if you want some wisdom, talk to my mother-in-law. Today I'm talking about mastering my mouth. This is a challenging subject. And Sandy asked me if I was going to be talking out of James, but no, we're going to talk out of Proverbs. And, you know, just doing some research, I came across, it says the average man speaks enough words in 1 year to fill 66 books, 800 pages long. Okay, he speaks 20,000 words a day. The average woman beats that by about 10,000. She speaks 30,000 words a day. We're a nation of talkers. We're people who talk. You know, there's talk shows on TV, talk shows on the radio. There's car phones and there's phones in all of our pockets. You know, we like to talk. Today, 55 million Americans will listen to 400,000 pastors deliver 1 billion words. Boy, that just kind of tires you out. But when it's all said and done, a lot more is said than done. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth controls himself, but he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. The Bible says that self-control means controlling the tongue. There's so much in Proverbs on our words. There's over 120 verses related to different things about our speech. And I want to summarize everything this morning that Proverbs talks about in three statements. You know, we've all heard, I remember when we used to work for the Diamondbacks, I always thought it would be cool to do the Sermon on the Mount. This is Sermon on the Mount. Well, today, I'm doing the Sermon on the Mouth, okay? And, but those three things that I want to summarize it in is, one, think before you speak. Always speak the truth and speak the truth in love. That's what Proverbs says about our words. First, think before you speak, or contemplate before you communicate, if you want to use more syllables. Proverbs 16:23 says, intelligent people think before they speak. What they say is then more persuasive. Basically, it's saying get your mind in gear before you engage your tongue. Have you seen ever seen someone on those game shows where they, you know, they have questions and answers, and they think they know what the question is, and so they say the answer before the question, and they're wrong. They get it wrong because they assume they know what's being said. So don't ever assume anything. Think before you speak. I came across this short little poem. It says, a wise old owl sat in an oak, and the more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Let's try to be more like that bird. I learn to think before I speak. Proverbs 18:20 says, you will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. Have you ever set off a chain reaction with your words? You know, people have actually died for saying the wrong things. The police were interviewing this guy, and they said, can you describe the man who beat you up? And the man said, of course I can. That's what I was doing when he decided to hit me. Some of you got that. Dan Fouts, he's a former quarterback for the San Diego Chargers, and he's now retired. And one time he's been interviewed and said this, now that I'm retired, I want to say something I've always wanted to say. As a quarterback, I want to say, all defensive linemen are sissies. He didn't want to say that while he was still playing. You have to live with the consequences of what you say. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. In Proverbs 20:25, if you have your Bibles, you can look at it, or it's in the outlines. It says, it is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later consider his vows. So we need to consider our commitments carefully. Calculate the cost. Think before you speak. It's a trap to agree to something before you really thought it through. Talk is not cheap. It can cost you a lot. Do you know the 7 most expensive words in the English language? I now pronounce you husband and wife. Talk is not cheap. It's always easier to get in than it is to get out. It's easier to get into debt than to get out of debt. You know, it's easier to fill up your schedule than to get out of your schedule. Have you ever said yes to a salesman and later regretted it? I remember years ago, 20-some years ago, Diane and I were at the state fair. And we've been walking around, and we've walked through everything because we're going to get our money's worth. And the last building we went into, there was a guy there selling these beds that would do this. And we made the mistake of laying down on that bed, and he raised our feet and stuff, and we're like, oh, this feels so good. And I think we went into debt. I know we did. And we paid, I don't know, had to be close to $5,000. I think we're still paying it off for that bed. I know we still sleep on that bed because no way I'm paying that much money and not getting my use out of it 20 years later. Have you ever said yes to a salesman and later regretted it? Yeah. Have you ever made a promise to your kids and they wouldn't forget it? Or they wouldn't let you forget it? You know, have you ever accepted an invitation and later regretted you had? It's always easier to get in than to get out. Proverbs 20:25 says, it's a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider his vows. So we need to think before we speak. Now, that's a hard, hard lesson to learn. What you say can make you sick or well or happy or sad or rich or poor. It can get you married or divorced. What you say can win friends or make enemies. What you say can get you hired or fired. So we need to think before we speak. So on that point, I've put a little scale in your outlines if you're doing outlines. I want you to evaluate yourself from 1 to 10. On that point of thinking before you speak. You might say, you know, if you're overcommitted and stressed out and you're paying for it because you didn't think before you speak, you might want to give yourself a 1. Or if I always think before I speak and give yourself a 10. Or I only overcommit about half the time, that's somewhere in the middle. So think before you speak. The second thing is always speak the truth. Always speak the truth. Proverbs deals with a lot of kinds of dishonesty, lying and deceit and exaggeration. You know, I want to talk with you about the failure to be frank with people. Isn't that just a form of dishonesty? When you don't really tell people the truth? In theory, you would all agree that honesty is the best policy, right? In theory, we all agree with that. But in practice, it often works out very different. You know, we always have a reason why it's not a good time to be honest in our particular situation that we're in. You know, if I told the person the truth, you'd never know what would happen. You know, they might explode, blow up. They might get mad at me. In Proverbs 10:10, it says, someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. You know, why do we hold back the truth? Personally, I think it's because we're cowards. You know, we'd rather do anything. Chuck, that was a good amen. And we're cowards, okay. Preach it, Dale. Anyway. We'd rather do anything we can to avoid conflict. You know, we want to keep the peace, not make waves, not rock the boat. In a relationship, many times you will not be honest with the other person because you'd rather be passive and kind of keep the peace than you would shake it up and make waves and be honest. In a relationship, you've got an issue with your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend or mom or dad. You start to share it, and you see that person kind of getting defensive or exploding, and you back off and say, forget it. You know, superficiality is better than handling that. You back off, and you don't deal with the issues. And the Bible says someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. So what kind of trouble? Dishonesty destroys relationships. Bitterness begins to rise. You begin to develop hidden agendas. You have hurt feelings that you're holding down, and it festers, and you stop trusting each other. You doubt. It's what you might call truth decay. Not tooth decay. Truth decay. The relationship begins to suffer. Some of you are watching relationships die before your eyes because you don't want to face the facts. Proverbs 24:26 says, an honest answer is the sign of a true friendship. That says that dishonesty is actually a lack of love. You don't lie to people you love. You level with them. You say, this hurts me to say it, and it hurts you to hear it, but we've got to deal with this. So you always tell the truth. You know, intimacy is a result of truth. Truth always results in conflict. Do you have to go through conflict in a relationship in order to have intimacy? Exactly. If you've never had any conflict, you've never gotten to some deep issues. You know, if you've never had any motivational discussions, that's what Diane and I call them, you've been superficial. Scott Peck wrote a book called The Different Drum. And he talks about the tunnel of chaos that you have to go through from superficiality to intimacy. It's a tunnel of conflict where you lay out all the cards on the table and you say, you know, this is wrong. And this is what I need and this is what you need. And you argue and you work through it. And then out of that comes intimacy. There is no intimacy without truth. And there is no truth without conflict. Many of you may be living in superficial relationships because every time you start to deal with an issue, there's a conflict and you back off and say, forget it. You know, I don't want to make waves. I want to be at peace. We won't deal with the issue and we'll just kind of pretend it's not there. What is it that you're pretending not to know in your relationship? Proverbs 28:23 says, in the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery. The alternative to being truthful and honest in a relationship is kind of play games. Have you ever seen anybody play games in a relationship? Whether it's marriages, schools, churches, offices. You see people playing games all the time. They say one thing when they really mean another. And they hint and they make suggestions, but they never come out and say, you're not meeting my needs. Or I'm not meeting your needs. Or we've got a problem. We need to deal with it and face it and head on and be honest. Someone who holds back the truth always causes problems because superficiality is a false peace. It's no way to live. Eventually, the relationship, if you're not honest, will die. The divorce rate in America has been skyrocketing for years. Managers, those of you who have people working under you, you need to be honest and frank with the people that work for you. Tell them when they're making mistakes. You know, we need to learn the difference between you blew it and I don't like you. You know, we think if we criticize somebody, then people don't like us. No, you love your kids, don't you? Do you correct your kids? Yes. You correct them because you do love them. You know, I die for my daughter. And because of that, when she was young, I corrected her. As a child, being frank with someone means you love them. Shining them on means you don't really care. And that's where the Bible says, think before you speak, and then always speak the truth. If you don't deal with this now, you will deal with it inevitably. That was easier to type than to say. one of the two things will happen. Either it will build up and build up and build up until all of a sudden one day it explodes in a nuclear reaction, and in marriage, and in a marriage, maybe one of you walks out, or it will just die a slow death. When you get angry and you get hot and you're dealing with the issues and you're hurting and everything in your body says, get up and walk out of the room, you stay at the table and you work on the issues until there's a resolution, and then comes intimacy. Most people I know do not have an intimate relationships. They've been unwilling to be truthful and go through the conflict. So evaluate yourself on that one. How honest am I? 1 to 10. How honest am I with those who are closest to me? If they have absolutely no idea the frustration you're going through, you might give yourself a 1. If they know the issues, but you don't talk about it, it's off limits in our friendship, give yourself a 3. If you'd say, we have intentionally put all the cards on the table, we're working through the conflict, and we can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel towards intimacy, give yourself a 10. And that's rare. The Bible says in Proverbs, learn to keep quiet until you've thought it out. Think before you speak. Speak the truth. And then the third thing is always speak the truth in love. That's the qualifier. You don't use the truth as a club. In Proverbs 12:18, it says, thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. You can wound or you can heal. You can hurt or heal people with your words. Isn't that true? You know, you've been both healed and hurt by words. We all have. It's our choice. Sometimes I grieve over the thoughtless things I say to people that I love the most. My wife, my kids, whom I love the most. Sometimes I say the most thoughtless things. And that bothers me. How can I say hurtful things to somebody that's the most important in my life? Have you ever heard anybody justify their insensitivity by calling it candor? You know? I just say what I feel. You know, the Bible says that's a fool. It does. Proverbs calls that person a fool. You know, I just speak what's on my mind. You know, to me that's dumb and tactless. That's not a virtue, it's a vice. The Bible says you speak the truth in love. Everything we do is in love. Proverbs 15:4 says gentle words cause life and health. Goodness and graciousness go together. The good person is the gracious person. Gentle words cause life and health. Notice the power of gentle words. They cause life and they cause health. When you confront, you care enough to confront, but you confront in love because those words cause life and health. There's a true story told by a pastor of being in a hospital room with a wife and a doctor and a man who had been in a coma for several months. This is a true story. The doctor said to the wife, he's never going to come out of it. It's hopeless. And he walked out of the room. The pastor walked over to the man in the coma, got close to his face and said, John, I know you've heard what the doctor said, but he's wrong. You are going to make it. You're going to come out of this coma. I don't care what the doctor said. You are going to make it. And when he said those to this man in the coma, tears began to well up on the sides of the man's eyes and run down his cheeks. The man did recover and is active in a church today. He said the turning point in his recovery were those loving words, you're going to make it. All of a sudden, he said, I wanted to live. Gentle words cause life and health. Proverbs 12:25 says, a word of encouragement does wonders. Would you agree with that? You know, you guys have sent me words of encouragement, encouraging words on cards. And, you know, I don't know, I think that's my love language, encouraging words, because I could go for a couple weeks on just one good encouraging word. It motivates me to get up and to try harder for the next week. One of my favorite heroes in the Bible is Barnabas. His nickname was the Encourager. I can't think of a better epitaph for your tombstone than for it to say the Encourager. He lifted people up. Everybody else discourages people. So be an encourager. Speak the truth, but speak it in love. You're all going to meet a lot of people this week. You're going to come across paths of a lot of people. Without even knowing who those people are, I can tell you one thing. Everybody is having a tough time. Everybody. In one way or another, everybody is hurting. Even the people sitting around you this morning, they got their good Sunday morning faces on. And they're looking good, smelling good. But everybody's hurting. Everybody just in different areas. So be kind to everybody. Last week I gave you homework. This week I'm going to give you a personal project. Okay? It's not homework. It's a personal project. Everybody you come into contact with this week, build them up. Don't tear them down. Say a word of encouragement. Don't give a put down or sarcasm. Don't tease them with a put down statement. Yeah, don't even tease with it. Build them up. Speak the truth in love. Even people you don't know, like the cashier at the grocery store. One thing I like to do is call them by their first name. Hey, if they didn't want me to know their first name, they wouldn't have it on a tag, right? So even, you know, give them a word of encouragement. You know, call them. Give them an encouraging word at the drive-up when you get your Big Mac and senior coffee. Give an encouraging word. When you go to school, give your classmates an encouraging word. They might look at you like you're crazy because people just don't do that. Encourage them. When you go to work, give your coworkers an encouraging word. An encouraging word will do wonders. Evaluate on this third one. How often do I encourage others? Do I give more strokes than pokes? Do I nag or brag more? You know, I hardly ever encourage them. Give yourself a one if you don't. Or I have a plan to compliment the people around me at least on a daily basis. Give yourself a 10. Every time I say something encouraging to my husband, my wife, my children, my friends, build them up. When you look at these kinds of statements, are you ashamed at the words you say? Have you ever heard anybody say this? I just said something and I'm so surprised that I said it. That's just not like me. Yes, it is. It's exactly you. The Bible says that your words are the window of your soul. The Bible says that your words reveal your character. Your words say who you really are. You say, where in the world did that come from? It came from your heart. What is it in your life that you're pretending not to know? Like a big pink elephant in your living room, and you say, what elephant? You know, there's a major problem that needs to be dealt with in your relationship, but you're ignoring it. What problem? It's a fatal mistake to do that. So what do? Go home and think before you speak. You might even write out what you need to say. Thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through the lips and the fingertips. If you can't put it on paper, you haven't really thought it out, then you speak the truth in love. Take a calculated risk. Speak the truth. Risk the conflict and go through the conflict because the intimacy is worth it. You need to get the person and make an appointment and sit down with them and say, I need to say the truth to you, and it's going to be difficult for me to say, and it's probably going to be hard for you to hear it. The things that come out of your mouth come out of your heart. The problem is not our tongue. The problem is my heart. It's me. I say hurtful things because inside I'm hurting. For years I've said that hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. I need a new heart. But the good news is that God specializes in heart transplants. Jesus Christ said, I came to give you a new heart and to heal your hurt so you'll stop hurting others. To heal your insecurities so you'll stop putting down others. God wants to heal your hurts so you can stop hurting others with the way you talk. If you're here this morning, you've never opened your life and heart to Jesus Christ, do it today. He'll give you a brand new heart. And that's what it means to be born again. It means start over. Are you here today and you're holding back truth in your relationships, in the key relationships with those people closest to you? Some of you are in relationships that are dying right before your eyes. There's an issue that needs to be dealt with and nobody talks about it. It's kind of like this family secret. There's a big pink elephant in your living room and you're saying, "What elephant? I don't see it." You know, you walk around it to get to dinner. You walk around it to go outside. What elephant? There's some major problems that need to be discussed. It may be financial. It may be parenting problems. But you're not dealing with it. Scripture says, he who holds back the truth causes trouble. You don't want to deal with the conflict. You've got to care enough to confront. And you've got to fight to save that relationship. You've got to stop pretending that you don't know what you know. You need to think before you speak, and you need to speak the truth, and you need to speak it in love. I invite you this morning to take a calculated risk this week. I want you to risk conflict and speak the truth. Go into that tunnel and realize that when you come out on the other end, the intimacy is worth the hassle. Maybe you need to make an appointment and sit down with the person and say, "I need to say some things that are the truth about our relationship. And it's difficult for me to say, and it probably hurts for you to hear it. But I believe with God's help, we'll both grow in this situation and we'll grow closer together. And the pain will be worth it." I'm so glad that Diane and I did not give up years ago. You know, there isn't anything I'd trade for my relationship to my wife. Nothing. Some of our honest conversations, our motivational discussions have been the most painful experiences in my life. I know at times we both thought we were going crazy, but we went through that tunnel and we continued to go through the tunnel when necessary, and now she is my best friend. To have somebody in the world that she knows everything about me, all the bad stuff, and yet she still loves me unconditionally. I know everything about her and love her unconditionally. You have to speak the truth in love. God loves you so much, and the principles that are in God's word are not there to hurt you. They're there to help you. All through the book of Proverbs, it says that self-control means controlling the tongue. Would you this morning say, "God, help me to think before I speak"? You know, I say stuff in a fit of frustration or anger or jealousy or fear. I've got myself into a lot of trouble by things I've said. Scripture says thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword. Some of you here this morning may need to go and ask forgiveness for some things that you've said. This morning, I'd encourage you to pray just simply, "Father, help me to always speak the truth." The alternative is play games. Be superficial. An honest answer is the sign of a true friendship. It means you really love them. In the end, that person will appreciate frankness more than flattery because you care enough to confront and you say, "I'm not going to let this relationship go on like this. It can be better." You might pray this morning, "God, help me to speak the truth in love, to be an encourager and not a discourager." Friends, you can't do these things on your own power. You need God's power in your life. And if you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, this morning's the time to do it. Just pray, "Jesus Christ, give me that new heart that I need. I need a heart transplant. I want to believe and trust in you. I want to live the way you want me to live. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be the manager, the boss." Say yes to him today. I don't care what your background is. Just say yes to Jesus Christ today. Would you pray with me? How wonderful is your word, O Lord. It meets us right where we live. Where the rubber hits the road, help us to always think before we speak, to always speak the truth, and to always speak the truth in love. Lord, this morning we're going to take communion, and as we remember your tremendous love and sacrifice for us, so when you sent your only son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins on the cross, thank you for the bread that reminds us of your body suffering and broken and beaten and hanging on the cross. Thank you for the cup that is a reminder of your blood that was shed for us. Thank you for your resurrection and the fact that we can spend eternity with you. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.